Tarantella is a group of Italian folk dances characterized by a fast, upbeat tempo, almost always accompanied by tambourines, and among the most recognized forms of traditional southern Italian music, in this case, from the beautiful island of Sicily. Also known as the Dance of the Spider, the tarantella is derived from the Italian word tarantola, meaning tarantula, and its origins comes from the bite of the wolf spider, which was widely believed to be highly poisonous and led to a condition known as tarantism, a condition that swept through parts of Italy between the 15th and 17th centuries. According to legend, once bitten by a tarantula, the victim, who was almost always a woman of lower status, would fall into a fit in which she was plagued by heightened excitability and restlessness. Eventually, she would succumb to the condition and die. The only cure, it seems, was to engage in the frenzied dancing ritual of the tarantella. Townspeople would surround the woman, while musicians would play instruments such as mandolins, guitars, and tambourines in different tempos in search of the correct healing rhythm, leading her to move in erratic ways in line with the tempo until she was thought to be cured, having sweated out the venom. As the passage of time faded the legend's mystique, the tarantella eventually transformed from a cure to a deadly disease to a couple's dance performed at weddings or other celebrations, involving a lot of flirtation and rapid movements by the women carrying the tambourine, used as a way to excite her counterpart, while the man's movements were made to charm his partner with his agility and tenderness. While the dance is typically traced back to rites of the Black Madonna in the Middle Ages, introduced into Europe by the Knights Templar, who I covered in prior videos, the dance can also be traced back further to the mystery school religions of the Maenads, female followers of Dionysus, often pictured as inebriated revelers, who in historical Greek society were religious organizations whose existence was protected by law. Their ecstatic rites and sex rituals eventually were banned and forced to go underground. However, in antiquity, the most significant members were the female devotees that were celebrated and revered, which could be recognized in ancient vase paintings and art by brandishing a wand or staff of giant fennel covered with ivy vines and leaves, sometimes wound with a ribbon and topped with a pine cone. In ancient times, the festival of Dionysus was held in the spring when the leaves begin to reappear on the vine, and as the god of wine and pleasure, his festivals were lively, though their esoteric, carnal aspects were primarily for those who had been initiated into the cult. Romans called Dionysus Bacchus, and they celebrated Bacchanalia, which became perceived as so immoral that in 186 BC, the Roman Senate suppressed it, and all the bacchanal sanctuaries were destroyed. The ancient religion, however, continued and was also suppressed by the Catholic Church, which would burn accused adherents alive after labeling them witches. In Wicca, a wand or thyrus is representative of the phallus of the god, and the chalice as the womb of the goddess. As Dionysus holds them both, he is symbolically displaying the male and female polarities that, when united, will bring forth a child of promise, a term that modern Christians consider to imply being born again, unaware that prior to Christianity, Dionysus, or Bacchus, was the deity symbolically associated with death and rebirth. Through altered states of consciousness, brought about by ecstatic rituals and intoxication. In the words of Ludwig van Beethoven, "Music is the wine which inspires one to new generative processes, and I am Bacchus, who presses out this glorious wine for mankind and makes them spiritually drunken." While I understand that much of the occult concepts that I present in these videos are rejected or misunderstood by certain demographics of the general public, in large part due to the corruption and censorship that has plagued the mainstream media and state-sponsored academia, I feel that it's important to introduce all people to an esoteric aspect of history that they would otherwise not have access to. And while I try to remain objective and apolitical, it's become harder to do so as internal conflicts, which have been playing out covertly in secret societies for centuries now, once again are coming to the surface, bringing about changes that will affect everyone to some degree in the near future, especially in Europe, but the consequences will be felt universally. After all, it was the Greek philosopher Plato who once said, quote, "One of the penalties of refusing to participate in politics is that you end up being governed by your inferiors." That said, not everyone is in total apathy, and some nations are not only waking up, but embracing a new renaissance. And nowhere is this more apparent than in Italy, which just elected its first female prime minister, Giorgia Meloni, whose father was a communist and convicted drug trafficker that abandoned her at age 11, inspiring her to eventually lead a political movement on the right. Emmanuel Macron described us as disgusting, cynics, and irresponsible. And here the Italian press began to ask, "Did you hear what Macron said about us? He said we're irresponsible. What a shame." The irresponsible Emmanuel Macron are those who bombed Libya because they were concerned that Italy would obtain important energy concessions with Gaddafi, and left us facing the chaos of illegal immigration we are facing now. The cynics, Emmanuel Macron, are the French who send the military to return any immigrant trying to cross the border in Ventimiglia. And most of all, and because things have to be said right, disgusting. Disgusting is France that continues to exploit Africa by printing money to 14 African countries, charging them mint fees, and by child labor in the mines and by extracting raw materials, as is happening now in Niger, where France extracts 30% of the uranium it needs to run its nuclear reactors, while 90% of Niger's population lives without electricity. Do not come to teach us lessons, Macron. The Africans are abandoning their continent because of you. The solution is not to transfer Africans to Europe, but to liberate Africa from some Europeans. We will not accept lessons from you. Is that clear? Giorgia Meloni was born in Rome in 1977 and worked as a journalist before entering politics. In 2008, she invited Italian athletes to boycott the opening ceremony of the Beijing Olympic Games in disagreement with the communist Chinese policy implemented towards Tibet. In 2012, she was part of the founding of a new political movement called the Brothers of Italy, whose name comes from the words of the Italian national anthem. She became its leader in 2014, and 2 years later became a mother. Her daughter was born on September 16th, which also happens to be my own birthday. In 2019, she gave a powerful yet controversial speech at the World Congress of Families, which defended cultural and national identity, and called out what she considered to be a globalist agenda aimed at destroying faith, freedom, and a strong family unit. This is about what we're doing here today. Why is the family an enemy? Why is the family so frightening? There's a single answer to all these questions. Because it defines us, because it's our identity, because everything that defines us is now an enemy. For those who would like us to no longer have an identity and to simply be perfect consumer slaves. And so they attack national identity, they attack religious identity, they attack gender identity, they attack family identity. I can't define myself as an Italian, Christian, woman, mother, no. I must be citizen X, gender X, parent 1, parent 2. I must be a number. Because when I am only a number, when I no longer have an identity or roots, then I will be the perfect slave at the mercy of financial speculators. The perfect consumer. That's the reason why. That's why we inspire so much fear. That's why this event inspires so much fear. Because we do not want to be numbers. We will defend the value of the human being. Every single human being. Because each of us has a unique genetic code that is unrepeatable. And like it or not, that is sacred. We will defend it. We will defend God, country, and family. Those things that disgust people so much. We will do it to defend our freedom. Because we will never be slaves and simple consumers at the mercy of financial speculators. That is our mission. That is why I came here today. Chesterton wrote more than a century ago. Let me see if I can find it. Fires will be kindled to testify that 2 and 2 make 4. Swords will be drawn to prove that leaves are green in the summer. That time has arrived. We are ready. Thank you. As Maloney's speech makes clear, the right believes that traditional culture is under attack. And let's be honest, it is. She alleges that everything that defines us is now an enemy, adding that they attack national identity, religious identity, gender identity, and family identity. She talks about the loss of the individual's cultural roots, and intellectually honest people of all ethnicities can identify with this concern. Maloney says that they, meaning the Marxist secular globalist, want to turn her into a number because, quote, when I am a number, I no longer have any identity or roots. This process, she says, is done to make her, quote, the perfect slave at the mercy of financial speculators, the perfect consumer. She is confronting the agenda of international hedge fund managers, crony capitalist corporations, communist regimes, and the world's left-leaning mainstream media that is as opposed to free speech as federally funded academia is opposed to free thought. I am again reminded of Plato, who said, quote, strange times are these in which we live, when old and young are taught falsehoods in school, and the person that dares to tell the truth is called at once a lunatic and fool. Slanderous labels have become common tools to silence political opposition, and in my line of work, historical facts. For example, many denounce the mystery school religions of antiquity, such as the Dionysian Maenades that I started this presentation with, because they're perceived as perverse, when in actuality their sacred rites were not originally meant to be as wicked as they are made out to be in modern times. Their goal was to awaken one's inner intuition, arousing states of consciousness that gives an individual access to the collective unconscious, where supernatural visions and otherworldly insights can be attained by anyone, much like the oracles made famous in Greek mythology, who allegedly dispensed divine wisdom from the gods supernaturally spoken through them. This ancient benevolent practice was twisted into unrestrained indulgence, decadence, and debauchery, which degraded the moral fiber of civilization itself, replacing noble virtue with excessive depravity, much the same way that it is currently happening in the West. For, as they say in the Mysteries, quote, the thyrus bearer are many, but the mystics few. And these mystics are, I believe, those who have been true philosophers. My name is Robert Sepper. I'm an anthropologist. My published work is available on Amazon and through all other major book outlets. If you'd like to support my work, you can do that through patreon.com. There should be a link in the description. Please subscribe for future updates. Leave your thoughts below. Have a wonderful weekend, and I hope to see you again soon.